We know the Spirit of God is in this place, but we can be miles away. We can be physically present, but be miles away in our minds.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here is the Ministry Training Center Vice President of Student Affairs, Kathy Smith.
This week at work, a lot of times I'll put an ear pod in and put on some worship music as I'm doing my work, just to try to like close into myself and be aware that He is there with me, even in my workplace. And sometimes we think the Lord is not in our workplaces, but we can invite Him in there with us. Amen, Paula. Amen. And so I was just listening to some worship music as I was working. You know, it was on in my ear in the background, and I heard this worship leader begin to talk about the benefits of being in God's presence. And my spirit just kind of like quickened, and I stopped what I was doing, and he rattled off a whole list of benefits of being in the presence of God. So I'm like, hurry, and I'm writing them all down. And so the next morning I shared that with Judy, that I'd heard that. And I said, you know, wouldn't it be fun to go back in that list and match those things up with Scripture and learn what God has for us when we come into His presence? And to see all the benefits that we can reap by giving Him time and space in our life. And so, you know, we had discussed that. We were going to talk about that in our morning Zoom, you know, ride with going to work, because we all meet together and we, you know, usually discuss a scripture that we've encountered that week or that evening or whatever, and then we pray for one another before we go into our workplace. And so we'd plan to do that. Well, then Pastor Jerry called me about 10 o'clock Friday and wanted to know if I was able to speak this morning. And I went, well, I don't know. I'm going to be gone all day tomorrow, because we had scheduled a day trip to be gone all day. And we hung up, and then I texted him back. Just like it was maybe 10, 15 minutes later, because the Lord just began to remind me what He'd given me. And I went, oh, I thought that was for our morning ride, but okay. And I texted back and I said, I have something. You know, I'll be able to cover that for you. So then the Lord just began to work with me. And of course, like I said, that guy listed like 14, 15 different things, and I thought, well, we're not going to fit all that in. You know, that's going to be a lot. So I just began to pray and ask the Lord to just show me what to use this morning. And I want us to see what we find when we make room and time to come into His presence. And, you know, some of those benefits. And let's make clear what I mean about being in His presence. Is He here right now? Absolutely He is, because God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He resides within us once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So He is with us, and we are in His presence, but are we present? See, because we can be in this service this morning, and we know God is here. We know the Spirit of God is in this place, but we can be miles away. We can be physically present, but be miles away in our minds. And so what I'm meaning when I say be in His presence, I mean, are you creating space for Him in your life? Are you making time to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him? That is what I mean by being in His presence. Because when we do that, then these benefits are ours. And we need to know them, and we need to allow them to be deeply rooted into our lives, so that when the storms of life come, we're not shaken. We're immovable because we've got our feet planted on the rock of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Amen. So that is what I mean when we are in God's presence. Because when we are, and when we step into His presence, and every Sunday you're invited to step into the presence of God when we worship, take advantage of that. Because when you are worshiping the Lord, when we come into His presence with what? Thanksgiving and praise, we're in the throne room of God. And when we enter that throne room of God, things happen. Things change. You change. You get answers. I mean, it just, you can't even explain the dramatic difference that can make in your life. When you open your heart up and allow Him to be with you and you with Him, no one else in the room. Because when you enter into His presence, no one else is here. You know, for the longest time, I was like, everybody's staring at me. No, they're not. And if they are, they are not entering into the presence of God. Right? Right? So just enter in with Him. Nobody can distract you when you're in that place, when you make that room for Him. And He wants to have a people that will allow Him to make a difference in our lives. And we have to invite Him to do that, because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force us to be a robot or to act or behave any certain way. But we have to allow Him to work and move in our lives. And a lot of times we won't do that. But I want to get into benefit number one. When we enter into His presence, we encounter truth. And the first thing that pops into our mind when we say truth, what do we think? John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if we're going to enter into the presence of God, guess what? We're going to go through Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we encounter truth. And, you know, I always wondered why so many people wouldn't enter into the presence of God. Or they won't fully enter in. And I think it's because we encounter this truth. It scares people when you feel the truth of God. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. I'm a thirsty girl all the time. I get a dry mouth. It's a curse. I told Jesus I need spit today. Apparently, He just thinks I need a drink of water. But the enemy doesn't win. Even if the third string's here, the enemy doesn't win. So, but we encounter truth. If we look in John 14, I want to read verses 15 through 21. And this is Jesus speaking, and He says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live in you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who will love me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will show them, or love them, and show myself to them." So, here's a qualifier, right? Sometimes we forget the if part of the promises. You know, we want all the promises, but we don't want to fulfill the if. So he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, and it's a good thing, because I would have to go home right now. I would have to go home. But we have to know that there are qualifiers for some of these promises. And so when we enter into his presence, we encounter his truth, right? Amen. And sometimes that truth might sting us a little bit, right? And so we kind of want to shy away from those things that make us uncomfortable, right? But I want to challenge us to turn the way you think in your mind, turn that around and begin to think as the truth is a benefit to you, right? And so instead of shying away because you might be falling a little short of something, we need to say, if I will pay attention to this truth that has been shown to me, because when we enter into his presence, he'll begin to show us things about ourselves that maybe need a little attention, maybe where we're lacking. And if we will pay attention to that, then it will be a benefit to us. Correct? So we want to think of his truth as being a benefit for us. Because when we get into his presence, that truth will then begin to lead and guide us. Let's look at Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. And it says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So he doesn't just like throw his truth out there at us to condemn us, because he didn't come for condemnation. That's the enemy. Recognize that. If you feel condemned, that's the enemy. But if you feel conviction from his truth, that's God trying to lead and guide you to direct your path all day long. It says, our hope is in him all day long. You know, it doesn't have to be just on Sunday mornings in church. This is a daily thing that he wants to do for us. John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus again is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So he's got so much more to say, more than the disciples at that time could even handle. And he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. He's taking what he knows from the Father and from Jesus, and he's going to share it with us. Now think about that. Who can search the mind of God? Can we? Not without the Spirit of God. And he wants to bring all of those things to us. He wants to share all of that truth with us. And so we need to be willing to receive it and think of it as a benefit. What else does the truth do for us? Let's look at John 17, 15 through 17. Now, here's a mind blower. Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us. And we see an example of this here in John 17. He is praying for his disciples and for those that will come after them. And he says, starting in verse 15, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." So listen, if you're praying for the Lord to come and take you out of this crazy world, stop it. Because that's not his goal. Jesus asks that he protect us while we're here. Okay? "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So when we encounter the truth of God, guess what it does to us? He's using that truth to sanctify us and set us apart. Because to be sanctified means to be set apart, to make holy. And Jesus desires that we are a holy people, separated from the world, separated from sin, so that we can worship and serve Him. Now, listen, we are in this world. We are not of this world. So, you know, that's quite the balancing act, right? Because we can't get away from it, but we don't want to participate in it, right? And so what we are doing then is we're going to say, I'm going to separate myself based on what God's word is telling me. Now, His word can come from the scriptures, or it can be a spoken word that He whispers into your spirit. And so we need to be able to tune ourselves, to be able to hear from the Spirit of God. We want to listen. You know, we've had many testimonies where we say, you know, the Spirit just urged me to do this or to do that. We need to pay attention to those things. And so that word, that truth will sanctify us. It will set us apart for benefit number two, holiness. See, we serve a holy God. And He tells us, be holy. That's kind of intimidating when you hear God say, be holy. And then you look at yourself and you go, wow, I'm a little far from holy sometimes. That thought wasn't holy. But yet we've already been promised that His word, His truth, sanctifies us and sets us apart. So if we are neglecting His word, or we are neglecting coming into His presence, if we don't make space for Him in our life, we're missing out on holiness. Because that's the only way that we are going to be holy, is through Him and through His word. So when we look at holiness, we know that it's then accomplished by our devotion to the truth that's revealed to us by the Spirit of truth. See, He doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't say, be holy, and then we have to figure it out, right? Because we would figure it out wrong, right? So when He's saying these things to us and He wants us to be holy, He makes the way for us to be that. He's a good, good Father, right? He's got the answers. We have to come. We have to come and fellowship with Him and be with Him so that we can be holy. Psalm 15, 1 through 5. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and cast no slurs on others. Some of these are like a little pricky, right? Who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, and who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Listen, if we just took those five verses of truth out of the Word of God, would it keep us busy? Like, I mean, if you use just those five verses to regulate your life, it would keep you busy. But see, this is what these verses are saying. He's answering that question. What sort of person experiences God's intimate presence and fellowship? It's this person. This person who has kept their tongue from slandering people and you know, lending to the poor, and you don't accept bribes. All these things. Why? Because we're walking in the truth, the way the Word of God asks us to walk. And so, you know, in those verses it said to be blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? It does not mean sinless. Okay? Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I'm going to take the whole counsel of the Word, right? So when we talk about blameless, it means that we're going to keep ourselves separate from the moral evil of our society. We're going to be separate from wrongdoing. We're going to be intentional about who we are and what we do and how we act and behave. We're going to try to live above reproach, right? So when someone makes an accusation, other people will be like, no. No, I don't believe that. So it depends on us a little to make these choices, to walk in a manner that is blameless and righteous. We make these choices, and we make those choices based on what we find in the Word of truth, right here in the Scriptures. Because, you know, God's pretty clear. He's pretty clear about what He expects of us. You know, there's all kinds of Scriptures that say, take off this, put on this. You could spend forever just examining those Scriptures. Google that. What are you to put on and what are you to take off? Right? Because he doesn't leave us hanging. He tells us what He expects. And then He tells us how to be holy, how to do it. So benefit number two, be holy. The next benefit is in John chapter 8, verse 31. In John 8, 31, Jesus is speaking to His children, and He said, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Benefit number three. It's freedom. Amen. Listen, He can set you free. He can set you free from anything that you're entangled in. He'll set you free from things you don't even know you're tangled up with. Right? Right? You know, years ago, I couldn't figure out why I kept getting responses from people that I was getting. And it just, I was just baffled. And I said, Lord, what is going on here? I don't understand why I'm being misunderstood. Right? And so I said, Lord, you got to show me. Because I can't, you're calling me to do things. And I can't see that ever happening if I can't figure out what's happening here. And so I was looking for a program for the training center or just for a group to do, and I came across a program, and I started looking into it, and I was trying to find out how to get the material or where I could go for training for it. And so I started making some phone calls, and I called, and a lady answered, and I said, you know, I see that you do trainings for this program. I was just wondering when your next one is so I could find out a little more information. And she said, well, you know, I'm going to be in a place called Philippi. And I went, you mean Philippi, West Virginia? Yeah, I'm going to be there this weekend. And I was like, great, I live about 20 minutes from there. And she goes, oh, you go ahead and come. And she goes, I've already sent all the workbooks, but I'll bring you one in my suitcase. She goes, you come. And I went, okay, I'll be there. And so I looked online, you know, where she said that they were holding this, to check the time of when it started. And it was like in February in the winter. And so we were having quite the snow that winter. And I thought, wonder if she's going to be able to get here, you know, or if they've canceled. So I dial the number, and a lady picks up, and I said, you know, I was just checking on your conference to see if it was still going on. Oh, yeah, we've already started. I was in my office at work. I slammed that phone down so fast, and I grabbed my stuff, and I went, I got to go. Now, thank the Lord I worked in a place that wasn't going to, like, fire me for running out the door. And so I ran to my car, and I'm flying to Philippi because I think, I'm missing it. And so I get there, I park, I walk into the building, and, you know, there are ladies sitting around. They're already having their discussion and talking. And so the lady walks over and hands me a book. And they were just breaking. And she said, when we come back, we'll start session 3. So I was like, okay, great. I've already missed 2 sessions. Lord, you know, what happened here? You know? And I open the book. And it begins, it's all about shame. And I begin to read it. And there's like this checklist on shame that you can, like, go through. And I kept reading it, and I was like, oh, that's me. That's me. That's, I do that. That's me. That's me. Tears rolling down my face. You know, that's the only thing that I got from that conference. And so that weekend, I said, Lord, you got to take that out of me. Shame and contempt. No wonder people don't misread me. Because I've got you, I got my hand out here, and I won't let you near me. And I said, you got to take that out by the roots. I can't do what you're asking me to do if I'm going to be at arm's length from everybody. And I remember coming into the church, and I just cried, and I could just feel His presence on me, and I just kept saying, Lord, please take it, please take it. And we started worship, and I was sitting over there where Sheila is, and, you know, I'm crying, and I feel God just touching me. And Pastor Jerry asked me to serve communion. And I thought, Lord, I don't know if I can stand up. I don't know if I can get up. And so I pick myself up, and I come up, and I'm serving communion, and I'm blubbering, and I'm thinking, these people think I'm an idiot. You know? And I went, and after it was over, I sat back down, and I am telling you, I felt something come up out of me. I physically felt it. It felt like it was ripped up out from my belly, and it was gone. And then I heard Him say, don't take it back. And over many weeks, the enemy tried to give it right back to me, and I had to say, no, that's not mine. But He will set you free. He will. It's a guarantee. Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Just like I said, He'll take it. He'll remove it from you. Don't take it back. Don't let yourself fall right back into that same pattern, because that's the enemy's ploy. He comes to bring it back to you and to bring shame or condemnation on you again. Don't allow him to do that, because he set you free. So we have to stand firm and say, not mine. That's not mine. I'm not taking that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Benefit number 4, His glory. Remember when Moses spent time with God, and when he came down, his face was shining? He had to cover it with a veil. We don't have to cover our faces. When we spend time with the Lord, guess what? People will see it on you. They will see God shining on you, His glory shining on you. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. We reflect His glory, and we're being transformed into His likeness. That's a process, right? It's a forever process. There's always something that we can be more like Him in. And so when we make room, again, make room for Him, make time for Him, make time for prayer, make time for reading His Word, just make time to be quiet and hear Him speak to you, you will become more and more like Him the more time you spend with Him. And you will reflect His glory. Benefit number 5. Benefit number 5. Jeez. Okay, the next one is knowledge and understanding. See, when we get into the presence of God, we begin to understand, and then we begin to comprehend how we need to live as a follower of Christ. How many of you have encountered a scripture that you can say, wow, I never knew that? Right? As new believers, as we come along, that's why we have to have some grace and mercy. Because when people come to Christ, they don't become perfect. They bring baggage. They bring habits. And so we have to be merciful for that. And we have to remember where we came from. Right? And so as we're in His Word, as we commune with Him, then we begin to understand and have knowledge of what we need to do as a follower of Christ. And what do then? We make adjustments, right? Sometimes we have to make an adjustment in our life, in the way we think, because we've thought this way all these years. But when we encounter Him in His Word, we have to adjust. He doesn't adjust. Listen, God does not change. He's not going to change His mind or go, oh, well, now I think it's this way instead. No. We are the adjusters. He sets the standard. Right? Let's read Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is huge. If you've never been there, visit it. It's a great psalm. Verses 129 through 133. And it says, your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Don't be offended. by the word simple. He gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. He wants to direct our steps. He gives understanding to us. Listen, if you don't know, ask him. He will bring the knowledge and the understanding. He may do it through another person. He may do it through a message that you're listening to online. He may do it through some music. God is not limited in how he can reveal that understanding to us, but he will do it. Ask him if you don't know, if you don't understand. It's okay to ask God to help you, and he will. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and it says, and this is my prayer. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's praying for the Philippians, and he's saying, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now you take that scripture and you begin to pray that for people. Because sometimes, don't you just want to look at someone and go, what are you thinking? You're being a little foolish, right? So, you know, that's not quite as loving as we might want to be. So pray this. Pray this. Because when God begins to open their eyes of understanding, guess what? They'll get it. We can say it all day long. They're not going to get it. But we need to. Paul prayed for them that they would have understanding and insight and be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's a great prayer to pray for somebody. Pray for our children. They are up against it. I have never seen in my whole life the things that our children are facing and encountering today. You know, I grew up, there were drugs. I knew there were drugs. I knew, you know, the people that did the drugs. But it wasn't in my face. And it wasn't in elementary school. But today, guess what? It's in the kindergarten. So we need to pray for our children, that they will have wisdom and understanding and they will know what is right. Proverbs 18:2 gives us a little, warning maybe. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Don't be a fool. Right? So when the understanding comes, we need a teachable spirit, right? Because the fool is not going to hear it. Right? So we want to ask God, give us a teachable spirit. So when we come into your presence and he brings the truth and he shows us things that we need to maybe take care of, or a way that we can come closer and walk closer with him, don't be a fool and go, oh, okay, and walk out the door, because we can do that. You can sit here and listen to me, and you can go, oh, that was great, walk out the door and do nothing about it. Right? But the challenge is, take what you've been given and do something with it. Apply it to your life. The last benefit I want to talk about is wisdom. Okay? So we can have knowledge and we can have understanding without wisdom. Because we can know it. Just like I said, we can sit here and we can acknowledge. We can know. We can understand. And then we can walk out and do nothing. But wisdom is applying what we know. Applying the how-to of the knowledge that we have. And so we want to walk in wisdom. So where do we get wisdom? Guess what? James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and I'll give it to him liberally. Like, he's just not going to give you a little bit. He's going to, like, fling it right out there to you. And so all we have to do is ask for it. Lord, I'm really not walking in wisdom sometimes. Will you help me? Will you give me wisdom and understanding? Guess what? He's right there. He's got it like in his hand. He goes, look, here's my present. Here's my gift for you. Are you going to come take it? Are you going to ask me for it? Because I want to give it to you. Just ask. Just ask. Proverbs 19, verse 8 says, the one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. So what do we want to do? We want to get wisdom, right? And we want to have understanding. Because what will that do for us? That's going to kind of make our path a little straighter, a little smoother. We're going to make better decisions. Maybe avoid some of those trip holes that are out there for us to get stuck in. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So we can have wisdom, but it should be evident in our lives. Because what? We're going to show wisdom and understanding by our good life, through good deeds, deeds done in humility. People are going to see that in our lives. You don't have to go flashing a car going, whoop, I got wisdom. Whoop, I got understanding. You don't have to tell people. That was a conversation I had this week with someone. It was like, if you have to go around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, there's something wrong. Because it should be evident in how you live. And how you behave. You should never have to say, I'm a Christian. People should see that in our lives. Same with wisdom and understanding. It shows by the way we live our life. If you keep reading, then it says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more, in Proverbs 3:13 through 18, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Listen to how precious it is to find wisdom. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold fast will be blessed. How many of you want wisdom? Right? Remember these verses, because it's more precious than anything that you could desire. So we must make a practice of being in the presence of the Lord, to reap our benefits. So I'm going to challenge you to find ways of being aware of the presence of the Lord. That could mean you're going to have some worship music on and you're going to just sing and praise Him. That could mean you're going to go meditate in His Word. You're going to take His Word and you're going to meditate on what that's saying to you. It could be that you are praying and speaking and communing with Him. It can mean that you are being silent before Him. I think that one's a hard one. Because we think we have to fill all the space with something to say. Practice being silent before the Lord. You will be amazed at how He will speak to you when you make room for Him. Make room for Him. So I ask you, are you reaping all of your benefits? Are you reaping all of your benefits?
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.